Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is Cowboy 347, podcast producer and radio personality, and this message is for businesses in the local area. Did you know that today 100% of the population is 100% comfortable listening to voices? 73% of that 100% are full-time employees. Well, not only that, 83% of that 100% have at least $75,000 in their bank account. Are you looking to promote and articulate your system, scale your training, and scale your value? May I ask you a question? Are you tired of using a shotgun, spraying the entire world with your value, with just one post and one video, only to hit a fraction of your target? To be a helper is to be a cowboy, and I'm Cowboy 347. Take this sniper rifle. Let me syndicate your business-to-business podcast where you can boost your interpersonal marketing. Articulate to your client avatar a compelling offer through strategic content planning and boosting your marketing with the least amount of effort and the least amount of time. To be an entrepreneur is to be in sport. And we all should be trying to find something to do before something to do finds you. I'm Cowboy 347. Let's go. Yes, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Ranch 1922 Company. I'm coffee crop farmer, Derek Cowboy 347 Harper. And to be a cowboy is to be a shepherd. And to be a cowboy is to be a helper. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for me to give you top shelf variables, top shelf details, to give you that experience that can keep you inspired and enticed, and most importantly, curious of the industry of coffee, please subscribe, like, download, share, so that you guys can put me in the best position to help me help you. Now, as an enthusiast, as a researcher, as an educator, as a historian, as someone who puts sweat equity into this legacyal prospect, I need to inform you guys that there is a method, there is a strategy, there is a plan, and all of that is motivated by facts. So I come here to you guys today with facts. Facts that can actually break the bind and break the mold of the deception and perception of the industry over the years in a specific community, so that there can be spring cleaning, so that there can be renovation, so that there can be some movement in your mind where there can be space for optimism and opportunity for adventure and exploration. And with that being said, let me start here like this. For a while, growing up as a kid, I always had this thing where coffee was always right there in my face, under my nose. But whenever to attempt to drink coffee, I was told, don't drink coffee or it'll stunt your growth. Raise your hand or comment if you ever heard these things as an African-American. As an African-American in America, don't drink coffee because it'll stunt your growth. I don't drink coffee because it's not good for you. Coffee is a object that was created that really makes no sense, and it's disgusting, and nobody knows where it comes from. There's so many things that I heard growing up. And being somebody who always goes and look for information on his own, just out of curiosity, as I grew on my spiritual suit in life, I realized that seeds are good for you. And when I realized that coffee was a seed, that's when I had a paradigm shift. And I said, I need to know more. I need to do tests. I need to write down theories in correlation with my experience versus the experiences of the world, and take the difference between the two and kind of figure out what is the information that I'm missing in my life. And I go and I realize that coffee is not only a seed, I realize that coffee is a fruit. And then I begin to delve into what consists of the fruit. I go in, I learn what consists of the seed as a unit and separately. And then I decide to go even deeper into the realms of history to discover the origin. And I personally don't like being played with. Now, let me explain. I don't like being boxed in terms of assuming how far my intelligence reach. And then from that assumption, try to capitalize on me. That's with the world, right? That's what this whole thing is about in terms of, you know, business, entertainment, etc. Service, etc. But most certainly what I'm really saying is that I don't like being played with in terms of my life and my existence in this world. And what you don't know won't hurt you. And, you know, the ignorance is bliss thing. I get it. But I've learned that also with knowledge, you can diminish fear. So I don't want to put myself in a position where the world can play with me, nor do I want that to be done to you. So as an African-American hearing these things growing up in the world, a spiritual man, a family man, a man of faith, a man of sweat equity, a man who is willing to go and get the truth on his own, does not want the same inalien principle that's out there in the world affect you. So now with all of those things, hearing these stories growing up, only to discover that it's in fact the opposite. Diving into the origin of coffee, I realize where coffee is from. Now, if some of you don't know my journey as an entrepreneur, before getting into farming, I'm a man of faith. I'm a Moor. My family is Cape Verdean, Portuguese, and African. On my father's side, there's India, Ethiopia, and Hebrew. But more importantly, what I'm saying is that we are derivatives of Africa. My son has the birthmark, has a birthmark of Africa on him. It's in our blood. There's something special about the motherland that's in us. But now I get to this place only to realize and discover that coffee originated from the motherland. Coffee originated from the land of Africa and the soils of the motherland. So when you come to the terms of the habitual characteristics of how America spins narratives on a plethora of things in this country to kind of conceptualize our belief on things, I then begin to dive deeper. I then begin to dive deeper, thinking that if this is from Africa, how can this be of bothersome to us? How? The motherland, the soil, the richness. How can this be an ailing to an African-American man? So then I go and dive deep and I realize that coffee originates from Ethiopia. From Ethiopia. And it's funny because as a Moor, from the Hebrew and the Israelites perspective, you know, that's where it begins. That's where a lot of things begins when it comes to methodology, ideology, religion. There's a lot of things that originates from that area and Mesopotamia and how things was connected. But ironically, coffee is from there. And coffee is a seed and coffee is a fruit. So I go and I research that coffee was discovered, which I have to do more research to really understand the process of how each detail of processing coffee was unraveled. And I have a feeling that it's deeply spiritual. It was by somebody who was really connected to the land that was able to discover the elements of earth, physics, matter, and health and human. And also not only that, the culinary art of it. It had to be somebody of supreme wisdom to discover this process, or maybe not, but it's a process that's absolutely genius and superbly intelligent. Because anything that's massive, masterfully processed is a thing of art. And I go in and I realize that coffee was brewed and boiled so that it wouldn't be, it was such a big thing in Ethiopia that it was illegal to smuggle it because of the power behind the well-crafted nature of its material that the population enjoyed and demand. And there was a Dutchman who decided to take initiative and trailblaze and smuggle it out of the country. Go do your research on it. And this is how the beginning of how coffee ended up getting spread worldwide. And thank you for that, brother. I got to find out who the name is. But Ethiopia is where coffee originates. Ethiopia is where, in terms of the producing region of coffee, is where the most compelling production of coffee exists in Ethiopia. Because of its mystery, right, in terms of this intelligent, genius process of development, and the diversity of wild coffee that has been grown through cross production, climate production, there's so many different forms of production that started involuntarily over the years versus the three that I'm going to share with you. It was the birthplace of coffee, ladies and gentlemen. That's my point. And the two seeds, the Robusta and the Arabica. Lord, this is Cowboy 347, and it's 2024. May I ask you a couple of questions? Do you feel like you're called to ministry? As an individual, do you know you have a voice, but you also know that you're not being heard? Are you an undiscovered genius, all because you don't have time to spend on anything else but posting, opposed to actual production? Well, to be a cowboy is to be a helper. And I'm Cowboy 347. Please, let me help you. Through my syndication platform, NC347, we will unpack all the strenuous tasks of ID3 tagging, audio production, audio editing,
which requires 24-hour turnaround, removal of ums and ahs, but most importantly, posting your content on all the well-known national syndication platforms. Can I make a suggestion? Create, don't wait. Through our partnership, we will discover your sweat equity and make you a beacon of light. It's better to find something to do before something to do finds you. Yes, Lord.
The Arabica was grown in southern Sudan, and in Yemen was the first actual country to start growing the coffee first. Now, Ethiopia, where coffee was first imported, it was first imported in the 1600s. And because of that, business began to spread throughout the country, but Ethiopia is the homeland. Now, to give you guys an idea that the wild dissemination of growing throughout the entire region of the bean belt locations in Ethiopia. But I want to give you guys some examples of places where it is absolutely popular in terms of key production areas, like areas like Lekemp, Ilobabor, Jima, Kafakanta, Rebecca, West Haraj, Bale, Guji, and Waleta. And from the research, I end up delving a little bit more deeper into different production systems that is most popular in these regions. So, here I am as a black man who, as I got older in entrepreneurship, I understand the power of not looking for the big hit and understanding that real wealth, true wealth, is about investing. And once I learned that coffee was in fact a future in the New York Stock Exchange, and it being the second most consumed drink in the world next to water, I realized about the power of supply and demand, and obviously knowing the significance of coffee in world's history and the world's economy. Historically, I knew to invest, but then looking for places to invest, I ended up realizing that the perfect place to invest would be into coffee. And delving into the origins allowed me to understand the power of my investment. Not only that, the power of articulating the investment to others in the ideology of the direction where I'm trying to go in the industry. Yes, Lord. So, let me articulate these formats of processing. So, Ethiopia's production systems can be divided into three main categories depending on their method of production. Now, this is without the principles of harvesting and processing, you know, pruning, etc. This is me just delving into the popularity aspect of production in the heart and the true origin of where this was discovered. And these are quite clever to me. Let me read these to you and I'll be out of your hair. Now, Ethiopia's coffees can be divided into three main categories depending on their method of production. You have the forest coffees, the garden coffees, and the plantation coffees. Now, as you guys know, I'm a coffee crop farmer, so the whole goal is to have multiple plantations of coffee in the near future where I can then manipulate the dynamics of my wholesale brand and the coffee shop 1922 company. Now, forest coffees, these come from the wild coffee trees grown mostly in the southwest of the country. These trees usually have a mix of natural shade plants around them and themselves are a brown mixture of different varieties. The productivity and yield of these trees is very low compared to more purposeful cultivated plants. Forest coffees. Now, to give you guys an idea to paint a picture is that a lot of these plants are actually, in terms of the bean belt, the locations they're best grown to get the best upper echelon dynamics in terms of where the climate is today, opposed to where it's supposed to be in the future, where it might not, these high qualitative plants won't be able to be grown in the future because of climate change, but the general area is grown on mountains. So then you have garden coffees. These are coffees from trees typically planted around a homestead or other dwellings. There is less natural shade and more management of the shade trees, such as regular pruning to prevent too much shading. Many producers use some fertilizer on their plants. This type of coffee makes up the bulk of Ethiopia's production. And then you have plantation coffees. These coffees come from trees grown intensively on large farms. Standard agricultural practices are used here, including pruning, mulching, use of fertilizers, and the selection of disease-resistant varieties. Now, in 1991, moving towards democracy, ladies and gentlemen, there is the commodity exchange that contributes to its economical value as a future. But we'll talk about that in another episode in terms of the investment aspects of the industry of coffee. But mostly coffee beans are hand graded by women at a factory in Ethiopia. The range of flavors found in Ethiopian coffee beans is broad, owing to the variable climates of different growing regions. Now, the way I articulated that is from an educational standpoint, from the roadmap of coffee industry success, which is the World Atlas of Coffee. And I'm articulating with you the most formulated, without cutting corners, the most formulated factual perspective on the volume of attention and intention in the region of Ethiopia, so that there can be a perspective of transparency when it comes to my conviction. This element has been perceived to be something that was not taking a turning point after my research, talking about the health benefits, talking about, you know, the chemicals that is made of and how it actually benefits us than hurt us, because knowledge is power. And like I said, knowledge can flee fear. I want you guys to know, you know, the power of brand development and sweat equity when you discover, right, the knowledge base behind what you're investing in and what you can do with that. And hopefully you guys will want to be a part of the team. Now, the Ranch 1922 company is looking to come to the DMV area, and we're looking to become a pillar in the community. Derek Cowboy 347 Harper is looking to build a media sanction within the coffee shop so that I can create opportunities so individuals can learn how to, you know, become a brand marketer, how to develop their own brand as an entrepreneur, and how to navigate those spaces. At the same time, I'm serving you guys a commodity priced future, which is coffee in our coffee shop. So I want to ask you guys questions, a Q&A about what it is that you guys want, what you don't want, what are some experiences that you've had, what do surrounding coffee shops in the area already do, and what are they looking to enhance. So I'm going to be doing a live stream next week, and I want you guys to be a part of that. I will be putting the date and the link beneath this episode. So if you guys are looking to come and be a part in fellowship, we will be having live discussion. It'll be a discussion board. You guys will be able to ask questions live right then and there on the live stream. It'll be educational. It'll be a great platform where your voice can be heard to contribute to your community. And I'm looking to meet you halfway so that we can join each other's journey and live a purpose-driven experience together. So dive in, click the link below the content. And just know that when it comes to producing top shelf, top tier, upper echelons, variables in videos and podcasts, it's about everybody that supports the platform and what you guys like to hear. So subscribe, like, share. Allow me to help you. Because to be a cowboy is to be a shepherd. And to be a cowboy is to be a helper. Lord, this is Cowboy 347, and it's 2024. May I ask you a couple of questions? Do you feel like you're called to ministry? As an individual, do you know you have a voice, but you also know that you're not being heard? Are you an undiscovered genius, all because you don't have time to spend on anything else but posting, opposed to actual production? Well, to be a cowboy is to be a helper, and I'm Cowboy 347. Please let me help you through my syndication platform, NC347. We will unpack all the strenuous tasks of ID3 tagging, audio production, audio editing, which requires 24-hour turnaround, removal of ums and ahs, but most importantly, posting your content on all the well-known national syndication platforms. Can I make a suggestion? Create, don't wait. Through our partnership, we will discover your sweat equity and make you a beacon of light. It's better to find something to do before something to do finds you. Yes, Lord.